Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Many blessings to you all. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show, and we are here to support you in your transformation journey. Today's theme is eradicate domestic violence. We're not eradicating, we're eradicating it. Today we're standing for a new way of being, a new way of treating ourselves, our loved ones, how we show up, how we allow violence to happen. Today we want to have a new thought about that. And to have a new thought to change anything, you must know who you are.
I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
That is the truth about who we really, really are. We are one with the one. We are one with the one consciousness, no matter what name you call it. And today we're standing from that place. We're starting from that place, from the place of truth, from the place and space of oneness. And that was Carly Jackson. Now we're collectively, globally uniting in consciousness to eradicate violence in the world because we can. This is the Agape Choir, and the title of this song is Someone Needs a Prayer Today. Will you be the one to offer the prayer? Are you the one who needs the prayer? We all join together in love and transformation. Someone needs a prayer today. We'll be back.
Someone's in need of a prayer today. Have you done your part? Someone's in despair this day. Have you prayed from your heart? So many are trying to find their way, and they need
and they need your light, you know, just listen to the Spirit. It's telling you, to heed the Holy Call.
What we gonna do? We're just gonna pray, won't we?
Pray on it
until I see peace everywhere, everywhere. I will do one thing, just stand here and pray. Come on,
pray on it.
We can do it together. We can change this world. But Michael told me, just do one thing. Come on.
Prayer of love, the kind of prayer that moves. It's a move in consciousness. Can also be defined or expressed as pray and move your feet. It's not praying and waiting. It's praying and acting. Knowing that you are the one to be the change. You are the one to make the change. You are the one to allow the change. We need each other. And truth is nothing until it becomes a way of life. Nikki Harris, soloist on this song. We can indeed change the world. How to do it? Start changing yourself. Start by changing your community. Start by speaking up. Start by choosing to love. Not the airy fairy kind of love. The kind of love that inspires you to take action. Connects you with compassion. Often informed by understanding. Sometimes it's understanding that you don't understand. so much freedom, we allow ourselves to say, you know what, sometimes I don't understand, and understand that you don't understand. Yes.
No matter what the news says, it'll set them free. Yes, it will. I know it will.
We are ready to be set free. We are ready to set ourselves free. We are ready to support others who are suffering, who are stuck, who don't know a way out. The Agape Choir. Someone needs a prayer today. To find out more about them, their website address is agapelive.com. Agapelive.com. And you can also go to the Sound of Agape to get some of their songs, the chant. You can download it right now. Just like that, soundofagape.com. With that prayer consciousness, we hold the highest vision for everyone who is moving through disharmony. Right now, somebody is being abused, so we're holding them up with a consciousness that is informed by the truth of who we are. And if you're the one, we got you. So the intention of today's show is to support you on your transformation journey. The intention is about healing, sharing, and growing together. Set the intention to learn something different about how you can be part of eradicating it, domestic violence. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you are alive. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you came here to make a difference. The question is, will you? We're supporting you so that you can step into your greater yet to be. Know that you are here for a reason. You have gifts and talents that the world is waiting for, and most especially, you are waiting for it. What would you do? How would you contribute to this beautiful planet of ours with all the good, the bad, the ugly, all that's going on? What would you do differently? What's your role? You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. The I Am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade. The metaphysical rebel, the I am that I am is what I am. And it's nice to have you here. Thank you for tuning in. We are taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And, so Les, we're going to tell us more about how you can call in, post your questions on the land pages. That's the fan page and the like page put together. And I want to welcome all of you listening on the phone lines, online, and those of you listening on the archive. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of this moment, this wonderful moment, to create change in our worlds, to create change within ourselves. Even if you don't know how, just be willing. And we want to thank our Within Radio listeners as well. Thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. Let's keep this going. We got a lot going on today. We have four guests joining us, and so we got to keep moving. Let me check in with the, what did the Electra call you yesterday, Celeste? The lady with the silk voice. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Celeste. Okay. Hello.
Really?
Celeste. How are you doing? Yes.
I'm really great, and I'm great, and I'm very proud to be a part of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show right now, because this topic is close to my heart. Eradicate domestic violence. We're not eradicating it. We want it gone. And I'm also happy because one of the guests is somebody I used to work with, Mike Giordano, psychotherapist, amazing social worker. It's somebody that I know personally. So do you know how amazing it is to be working where you are now and have someone like you, like Coach Day, who's just like, yeah, I want to do this topic, and then be able to reach out to old friends. We're all connected. It's all a big old spider web. And I just feel really honored and happy that my old life and my new life get to say hello to each other.
So what I hear you saying is that it's all about a community and we all have to show up. I couldn't resist that. That was tempting.
I know. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So what I hear you say, you know, my best friends are social workers. I love them deeply. And and I also appreciate you, Life Coach, today, because it's not every day we get to have this conversation, and we don't need to wait till the month of October when it's Domestic Violence Month. I say let's be bold and do it right after Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the way I see it is, I mean, it's there's so much involved, but it's like we got to, I mean, we'll talk more about it, but violence, yes, this Ron is going to be joining us, someone who was an abuser and how he went through his journey. But really, for me, I believe, of course, the essence of this show is coming from a spiritual perspective. And it doesn't exclude anybody unless they choose to exclude themselves. I don't care if you believe in God or not. Are you a human being? Are you loving? Are you kind? That's what does. That's what matters. And we all got to check ourselves when we're being violent. Violent with ourselves and with others, because that ends up, you know, we project that onto our family members. And the statistics are crazy. It's crazy, the figures that I'm looking at. And for me, I'm just committed to, you know, let's have the spiritual conversation, but we must apply the spiritual conversation, because sometimes people think it's separate. You know, I try to meditate, I try to, you know, be in the moment, but it's part of life. It's part of life. So, you know, as we continue to move forward, is having topics like this that shows that, it, you know, domestic violence is not different. Someone said to me yesterday, oh, that's kind of different from your show that you normally do. I said, well, not really. I said, I'm in a place now where I want to start having more conversations about applying the spiritual principles in daily lives, in places where we're not sure if we have, where we can find answers, rather than just talk about what we know we need to do. Everybody is a truth teacher. Everybody knows the truth. Applying it is the problem. Yes, yes, yes. So, anything else I need to know? Can you? Mercury is doing what Mercury does, and I think I'm good. I'm good. Everything is moving well. Okay. Most of the things are moving smoothly. So, anything else I need to know before you come back for your announcement? Because you know I'm going to work you today.
Oh, I know. I'm looking forward to it. I don't have anything else but to give mad love to the people on the phone lines and the people in the chat room. I see you, Electra. Wink, wink. New Jace, Jackie, welcome. And guests, if you want to join a conversation in the chat room, you can sign in to Blog Talk Radio. Otherwise, we'll assume you're just listening. And don't forget to call in to share your voice if you'd like to, 347-426-3346. And I'm out, Life Coach Today, unless you need something else.
Well, you're going to be back in a minute, so for now you can just take a quick break. We'll catch you on the rebound.
All right, let me get some water.
All right. Thank you, Celeste.
My pleasure.
You are listening to the – oh, what's going on over here? What is going on? See? All right, let's all get – can we all get along? Just work with me here. That's what's going on. I just want to – all right. Computers, I love them. They make my life fun. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. As a multitask here because he must – well, maybe not. And we're taking your call, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. In a few minutes, Jenny Cressman is going to be joining us, an advocate for women. And Mike Giordano is going to be joining us, a psychotherapist. Later on, around 1 o'clock, we're going to have Lauren Vaughn. She's an executive producer. no, not executive producer, executive director of an organization called My Sister's Place. And we're also going to have, we're going to have Ron Burnett join us. It was a brother who was once an abuser and went through a 6-month program, and now he's changed and using his story to help other people in waking up. Yes, we have packed shows. The show is packed. I got lots of stuff all around me. I can't even catch up with myself. So let's just take a breath. And know that right here, right now, we are the place where God, where good gets to reveal itself. And we say yes to healing. We say yes to life. And we say yes to why we are here. We are here to support one another. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346, for questions, comments, thoughts. And you can also post your questions and comments and your thoughts on the fan pages or like pages, which is the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show page or the Life Conversations Radio page. We will be back in a minute when I find what I'm about to fire off. This is it right here.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find a metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Do you have questions or show topics you would like Life Coach Today to consider for upcoming shows? You could email him that too at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. The theme for the month of February is Activate the Love Matrix. And we also have exciting shows on our Life Conversations Radio Network for you. Be sure to join Mbasa Safera for the Play Experience every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. You can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is also syndicated on Within Radio every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on InspireBroadcasting.com. And don't miss the musical odyssey of Sounds of Soul with the Day Nifa Woshe on 12radio.com every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. And we're talking. Today's theme is Eradicate Domestic Violence. Let's do it now. Let's do it now, because when you shift your mind, when you shift your consciousness, when you have a new thought, you change how you used to be. So what needs to change? Even if you don't know anyone, I can imagine it, but even if you don't know anyone, if you're not in an abusive relationship, what can you change about yourself that would add more love, more harmony, more peace in the world where we can all feel safe? What can you change? So let's eradicate domestic violence now. We're getting ready to bring on our guest. As Celeste said, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Let's bring Celeste back on. Welcome back, Celeste.
It is great to be back. It is. I had the pleasure of greeting our guests, and I'm so happy to share with the family who they are so we can introduce them to Jenny Kressman and Mike Giordano. But I just want to give you a couple of fine lines and details so the family can be comfortable understanding who's walking into the studio. Everybody that comes to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show are special to us, from guests to listeners. Jenny Kressman is not new to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. She has been on before, and she's serving in her role as an advocate of equality and nonviolence throughout her life and also on this radio show. She's worked for Muskoka Women's Advocacy Group out of Canada. I'm trying to say that right. Forgive me, Jenny. And it's a charitable organization, and it operates 2 crisis shelters and 10 transitional housing units for abused or at-risk women and their children. She also offers her gifts of writing and her abilities to keep people connected through her quarterly newsletter, Up With Women. So you can find out more information about her. And she also has a free booklet called A New Beginning in a downloadable PDF format that I will make sure we have access to in the chat room. So that's Jenny Kressman. And then we have Mike Giordano joining us. He is a licensed clinical social worker, and Mike provides compassionate and affirming psychotherapy for individuals, couples, families, and adolescents. He has a special expertise helping folks who feel dismissed based on their identity or life experiences. And I know Mike personally from his work also with the Show Me Love organization, which focuses on domestic violence from the perspective of LGBT community. So family, without further ado, please welcome Jenny Kressman and Mike Giordano to the studio.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Hey.
Hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being of service in the work that you do. So let's jump right on in. Let me start with Jenny. Jenny, we've just heard a little about you, but and on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, we like to meet people soul to soul, heart to heart. So here's the first question I want to ask you, Jenny. Who are you? Who is Jenny Kressman?
Who am I? I am many things. My role at this time is a very important one that has been taking shape all my life, and that is fighting violence of all types. Fighting maybe isn't the right word, but advocating for greater harmony and peace among people. And what I do at the Shelter for Abused Women where I work, Muskoka Women's Advocacy Group, is put a lot of the skills to use that I've learned over my career as a journalist and throughout my life. And so I do edit a monthly column that appears in one of our local papers, and I take care of the MWAG website, and that is www.mwag.ca. And there's a lot of information on there, including a downloadable book which I edited about beginning again after an abusive relationship. So what I'm doing here, I think, is something that draws on a lot of different aspects of my life and experiences.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And it's nice to have you back on the show. Oh, no. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great. And glad to be here. A little nervous, but glad to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you. Now, I got to ask you a question as well. Like I said, all our guests, wherever they're coming from, whoever they are, we must meet you heart to heart, soul to soul. So I've got to ask you a question. It's going to be slightly different. It may sound alike, but it's different. So the question is, who is Mike Giordano?
Who is that's a yeah? Who am I? That's a good. I've been asking myself that a lot lately. I think that's the lifetime question. Well, so here I am showing up primarily through my experiences as a social worker and a psychotherapist. I'm in private practice right now and serve all kinds of people, but a lot of my clients are in the LGBTQ community, and I've certainly worked and am working with plenty of people who have been in abusive relationships. So that's where I come from, and also a few years back I worked on as a part of a community working group on a grant that we received through the Department of Justice to put together a website of resources for people in the Metro DC area, LGBTQ people who have experienced what we were calling intimate partner violence, which is, I think, quite similar to domestic violence, but I think the idea is it's a little more inclusive of relationships. So that's kind of where I'm at right at this moment.
Thank you. Now, you know, I just for all our listeners to know, I understand this is a big topic. It's an ongoing conversation. My intention for this show is to inspire a change in our listeners that we learn something different about how we can be part of the solution, as well as what can we change within ourselves and be empowered to support others, because there's a lot of myths about people in an abusive relationship, and we'll talk more about that. So what I really want to do is take this very slow and kind of just ask the question. Let me go back to Jenny again. Jenny, how do you define, or should I say, what is domestic violence?
Well, domestic violence, I think, in many ways could be more accurately described as violence against women, because the vast majority of domestic crime is men abusing women. And, you know, I've got stats all over the place to back that up, and I'm not discounting the fact that it does also happen to men and that women can be abusive and can be violent. But I think we need to be clear that the vast majority of victims of domestic or spousal violence are women, and that's 83% or more of the victims of domestic violence are women, and the vast majority of the perpetrators are men. And that's important because one of the root causes of violence against women or domestic violence is a lack of respect and gender inequality. And that's why it's a key point to make, and not just painting it all with the same brush and saying domestic violence must end. Yes, it must. But violence against women, more specifically, clarifies what you're trying to end.
How does that different? Domestic violence must end, and violence against women must end. What's the difference? What's the distinction there?
Well, I think violence against women is making it more clear that is okay. The main type of crime that's occurring. If you're talking okay. about domestic violence, it is more inclusive, yes, and that's important because all type of violence must end. But it gives people the wrong impression. It gives people the impression that women are equally violent, and they're okay. not statistically.
Okay, I got it. Let me ask Mike, and you work with the LGBTQ community. So I'm actually curious, or I'm actually anxious to hear your response about what domestic violence is or how you define it.
Well, you know, I actually defer a bit to Jenny. Is it Jenny or Jeannie? I apologize.
Jenny.
Jenny, okay. I just deferred a bit. She, I have not heard it clarified quite like that, which was quite, it's hard to argue with that. I think it was beautifully put together. So I think for me, what I think I have to bring to this conversation, well, is both support for the idea or the goal of eradicating violence against women. I think what I offer is the perspective of less about, more about the abusive relationship piece, which can occur within same-sex relationships, which is the line between how Jenny identified domestic violence and what I'm talking about is there's a different, they're different things, but somewhat related, particularly with the ideas of power and control. But certainly the statistics of what Jenny's talking about is different from what I'm where I'm coming from. So if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, sure. I mean, because you talk about power and control, and, you know, there's so much. There's so much going on, and it's almost, sometimes it's very quiet. So this is my – I'm going to ask her – I'm going to just ask – you know, most people might think everybody knows that, but sometimes we don't know what we think we know.
Right,
and
exactly.
Sometimes we don't know what we don't know. So what I want to ask you – and I'll stay with you for a minute, and then I go to Jenny. From your experience, your work, and people that you're working with, what is the cause of domestic violence? Why do people attack, really, hurt the ones they say they love?
You know, so in my work, I'm more of a, I sit in an office and talk to people and listen to them talking about their emotional experiences, and so there's the big view about our culture and what our culture says is okay and what our culture does to people and does to men, does to women, and marginalizes people's experiences. But in
Mike, when you culture, you mean America generally, or are you talking about the LGBT?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, I mean America in general. But okay. But when I go down to working with the clients I sit with, it's much more about how all that has infused their sense of self and how they may feel empowered or disempowered to make their own decisions and to live the life they want to live and to be the person they want to be. So I think I'm speaking pretty vaguely, but I think that when we're not clear about who we are, we can do things that we are not proud of. So.
Right. I mean, because we have a guest that's going to be joining us later who's going to speak. Because I believe it's that whole, it's like there's something going on inside the person, and I think, I don't know if you just said it, power and control. So when you feel that you don't have control over your life and you feel powerless, you project that on somebody else. Jenny, let me come to you. What are your views? What's the cause of it? Why do we experience, you know, is it just as simple as because men are stronger than women?
No, absolutely not. I think one of the big causes is inequality and lack of respect, not just for other people, but lack of respect for oneself. I think if you look at what is going on psychologically with an abuser, one of the big problems is their own core beliefs about themselves. So they lack self-esteem, and one way that they gain that feeling of power is by gaining control and putting down another person. You'll see that in any form of bullying, and that's really what abuse comes down to. It's one bully against a victim, which in many cases is a woman or some other disempowered person, and not taking responsibility for their own actions, a tendency to justify that, you know, it's not my fault, she pushed me, she made me do it, or he made me do it, being impulsive. There's a lot of psychological things going on in the person who is the abuser. And also, be clear, they're not mentally ill. That's another myth that sometimes comes up. But, you know, the power and control issues are huge, and that plays into the whole inequality, and gender inequality quite frequently is right there as a root cause.
I had a question when you said they're not mentally ill. And can you talk more about that? Because I want to find out if you're talking more about maybe they're bipolar. Is that what you mean? Or because personally, I think anybody who hurt, attacked, killed someone they love is mentally ill. That's the way I say it. So I wanted to hear your perspective on that.
Well, I think saying someone is mentally ill can sometimes be an escape clause. I think when you look at how that abuser interacts with the rest of society, typically you'll find the abuser doesn't go and assault his boss and doesn't go and yell at strangers when he's angry, doesn't slap the waitress because she didn't serve the eggs properly, but he will slap his wife. It's using the phrase mentally ill to get off the hook, if you sense, in a sense, and not take responsibility for one's actions. So I really do think that that's a delicate area to tread into. Someone needs help. Someone is not technically mentally ill, but they do have psychological areas that they need to acknowledge and get help for. How about that?
Yes, I get it. I get it. Let's talk about some of the myths, because the common one that we hear is, I don't understand why she doesn't leave him. Now, because there's actually, I don't know if you saw the, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I think it's a friend of yours actually posted something on the page about the daughter being abused and not going to get married to the guy. But we'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the myth. And, let me start with you, Jenny. Let's talk about the myth of domestic violence and what people don't understand and people who are outside looking in and they think they got it down. What do we need to know?
Well, why doesn't she leave? A little different conversation than myths, in my opinion. So maybe I'll address why doesn't she leave first. Perhaps a myth is that it's easy to leave. It's not. And the most dangerous time for a woman or a victim of domestic abuse is when that person is trying to leave the abuser. And that's when everything gets cranked up and the abuser wants to try harder to have power and control over the victim. So that's the most dangerous time for a woman. I would say women, and I'm going to keep saying women because that's my work and that is the vast majority of people who are victimized by domestic abuse. So women don't leave because they have hope. They have optimism. They want to believe that this guy that they fell in love with for a reason will become the person they envision that he could be, that he will change, that he will get help. So they're really optimistic and hopeful people and patient, and they have a lot of love and loyalty, but also they have a lot of need and fear that's all wrapped up in that relationship with the abusive person. The abuser may well have threatened violence towards them, towards himself, towards the children, towards the pets, towards other family members, and there would be real reason to believe that he would carry out his violent threats. So there's a lot of fear going on there, and that's a huge, huge factor that a lot of people don't understand. Why doesn't she leave? She's scared. That's one of the main answers that people come up with. And financial. Financial implications are also huge. Most women who leave an abusive relationship, usually with children, end up in poverty. And that is what statistics will show, I think, in the U.S. and Canada, where I'm from. It's a big, difficult decision, and many times people will use children as glue or as a reason for staying in a relationship because they think they'll disadvantage their children if they step away from that financial security despite the abuse. But what they're teaching the children is that abuse is okay.
You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guests are Jenny Cressman. She's an advocate for women and focusing mainly on domestic violence. And as you can tell, she's very passionate about it. And we have Mike Giordano. He's a psychotherapist, a social worker. And Mike works with everybody, but we wanted to bring Mike on to kind of give us a perspective from the LGBTQ community because we don't always hear that. And, and if we don't start dealing with that now, I think later on we'll be playing catch up. Mike, What are the myths, particularly, especially, you know, there's so many, you know, we're still struggling with and accepting same-sex relationships. Now, for some people, the idea of domestic violence, and even if they take the those who say, well, it's usually between a man and a woman, as Jenny was sharing with us, which is the 83%. But so to be able to now take that, translate that, what does that look like if it's two women or two men? Can you tell us the kind of myth that people have, or maybe misunderstanding?
Yeah, well, it's sure. I think one of the misunderstandings is that it doesn't happen in the LGBTQ community. And I think that happens. That exists for a few reasons. One is the idea, I think one of the ideas is that because we're gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or queer, that we have some kind of, that we're not, we still aren't human. And so we are, have some higher understanding of how relationships work and how to be in a relationship. So I think that's one of the, one thing that leads to the idea that it doesn't occur. But probably the bigger idea is that we don't talk about it that much in the LGBTQ community. When you're already feeling, you know, when you're, when we're fighting, I'm going to say we because I'm gay, so I should include myself in this conversation. It's hard to separate myself from my own community. When we're, you know, when we're trying to be recognized legally and get respect from the rest of the world for who we are, it's hard to let the dirty laundry out as well. It, you don't want to, A, there's a lot of pressure to look like you've got it together, and then if you let the dirty laundry out, there's fear that it will get in the way of the cause. So I think there's a, the main idea is that it doesn't occur, and I think that's, those are a couple reasons behind what perpetuates
that. I've got several questions I want to ask. We have some other guests join us later, and you guys are going to stick around for that too. But I wanted to get as much out of you now. Let's talk about young people, and I'll start with you, Mike. Young gay, I want to say students, I don't know why I'm saying students, young gay people, you know, especially who maybe haven't even come out. They're afraid of coming out, and then they're with their lover, and they're being abused. And how do they navigate it? What kind of cases do you see?
Well, when I work with Celeste at SMILE, Sexual Minority Youth Assistance League, which is a youth center here in Washington, D.C. for LGBTQ youth aged 13 to 21, there was there was a lot of, we saw a lot of that. And I think for young people who don't have support are at risk of a lot of negative things happening in their lives. And being in an abusive relationship is certainly one of them. If you don't have support from adults and from parents, you can't talk about your relationships, and so it's just on that alone. It's they're more at risk of finding themselves in this kind of relationship, and then seeking help for it. If no one knows you're gay or lesbian or bi or trans or queer, how are you going to get help for it if you're afraid to let people know that?
Right.
So young people are particularly at risk of getting effective help.
Right.
Jenny, let me ask you the same similar question. With young teenage girls, how does it show up in their lives? Are they quick to talk about it? Do you work with young teenagers?
Oh, yes, for sure. A stat that just sort of jumps out at me from my notes in front of me, young women are most at risk of assault or murder. 66% of female sexual assault victims are under 24, and 11% are under age 11. So they are very much our clientele. They are very much at risk. And sometimes the way the social services systems work, at least in our area, in Ontario, and perhaps in various states, that women who are teenagers on the cusp of becoming adults fall between the cracks a lot of times. The social services are sometimes lacking for 15, 16, 18-year-olds. They are able to come to our shelter if they're 16 or over, but if they're younger than that, then there's not really a good place for them to go. So we do what we can to advocate with other social service agencies in the area and find people who will talk to them and provide support. But for anyone of any age, of any sexual inclination, of any gender, support is so important. Just knowing that their story is being believed, that people are listening to them and not judging them, is so important. I can't stress that enough for anyone who wants to help someone who is in an abusive relationship.
I want to talk about the support, but just want to invite listeners if they have any questions. If you have any questions, listeners, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. If you want to send in a question and you don't want us to use your name, you can send an email to ask@lifecoachada.com, ask@lifecoachada.com. If you don't want us to mention your name, let us know. Or you can just post your questions on the fan pages, like pages, what I call land pages, the Ask Life Coach Ada Radio Show page or the Life Conversations Radio page, or we'll take your questions as well in the chat room. Let's talk about support, because I think sometimes the statistics we can find online, we can find out how many women are being attacked and killed, young people who are committing suicide. But let's talk about the support thing, because I think for me, when I think about it, when I hear it, it seems the support part is where we have issues. You talked about the social services, that some of the young people fall through the crack. People fall through the crack. What can be those of us who are outside looking in, or maybe those of us who have a family member who's being abused, what can we do? How can we be supportive? Because sometimes I know people could feel like, well, just listen to them and believe in them, but they're still being beaten up. But I want to do something else, but I don't know what to do. So how do we go supporting them, Jenny?
Well, the first thing you do is if you think they're in a dangerous situation, call 911. Get the police involved. The other piece is you have to put your own safety right up there with the safety of the person you're trying to help. And don't offer something that you think will put you or your family in jeopardy. Learn about what social services are available in your area. Find out where the shelters are that help men and women, where the shelters are that provide safe accommodation, that have crisis counseling services and emergency services. And then you're more equipped to help someone. And it's easy to do online or in an old-fashioned phone book or just paying attention to posters and flyers that you find around the community. And listening to the person, finding out what they want to do, what would help them move forward in ending the abuse in their lives. Helping them come up with, you know, maybe a code word. If they call you and say, you know, some kind of word or phrase like my dog just vomited, you know, and maybe that's too silly a phrase, but something that is meaningful to both of you that lets the plan develop that you call the police on their behalf, for instance.
Yes.
So I
wanted to hear what you say about this, because I think sometimes we think we must have the whole picture, like we should know what to do when we have the conversation, but sometimes it's just being there in that moment, and through the conversation we'll be inspired to take the next step, don't you think?
Sure. Conversation is so important, and listening to the abused person tell what is happening, believing her, not finding fault with her, not judging her, not saying things that are detrimental to her emotionally and psychology, but supporting her and never giving up and letting her or him, whoever the abused person is, letting that person know that you will never give up on helping them, and you will always be there and loving and supporting them, even if you aren't in direct contact all the time. It's just important for someone to know that they do have someone caring about them.
Yes. And you mentioned something there, because I was thinking about it and you were speaking on it. I was like, yeah, the whole thing about not judging somebody, this show is about empowering ourselves to watch our judgments about ourselves, about others. And because if someone is in an abusive relationship and you as a loved one or the one that cares saying, I just don't understand why you won't leave him, you've jacked it up right there. You've messed it up completely.
So yeah, you're right, Ade.
To do our own work so that we can at least learn to take a breath and just kind of, you know, just like, okay, God, spirit, universe, whatever, help me here to have a conversation. But, yeah, because I know about that judgment thing. Once we go into, I don't understand it, you just got to leave him. You do that, you've lost it. And so, yeah. Let me ask Mike. I'm same question again, but slightly different. And Mike, I'm going to come to you. As I said, I know you work with all sorts of people, and I love how you describe it in your on your website. But I want to stay with the LGBTQ community because we don't always talk about that. How can we support a gay young person, or anybody really, who even if they come out or not, in a society where we're still struggling with the idea of same-sex relationship, what tips would you share with people to be able to support people to walk through it and get help?
Well, so I think Jenny's got it. Of course, I agree with everything Jenny's saying, but I think the piece about for someone to talk about their being in an abusive relationship on its own is a very difficult thing. People are ashamed and embarrassed to admit that. I mean, as a therapist, they come in and plan on talking to me about it, and I still see the shame and embarrassment. So it's so taboo. So I think it takes a special friend to be able to be open to hearing about these things and to have a friendship that's comfortable enough to where you can talk about these kinds of things. So what can we do specifically for LGBTQ people? So there's the broader how can society be more welcoming and open and less judgmental towards that community, which will help that community get more support. But then there's the specifics where we as individuals can live our lives in a way that shows that we are. If you're straight, that you can make it clear that you're a ally to the LGBT community, both in your words and your actions. And then if you're part of the community, being what a good friend is someone who is able to be there for people. But that being said, you know, it's interesting. As a therapist, it's much easier for me. It's a tough task to listen to someone you love who's in a being abused. It's a really tough task to ask for someone because we care so much for the people we love and we don't want it to continue. So it's a tough position to be in. Yeah, it's
it
easier
is.
For me as a therapist to have that to step back a little bit but when it's my friend talking to me about something like this, part of me wants to say, just leave. I understand that impulse to want to say that.
I understand. I definitely understand. I mean, I'm dealing with some friends, and they're going through challenging experience, and sometimes I just want to go into defense, and I watch myself wanting to jump in and take charge. It's like, wait. You're here to support, assist. It's not take over what they're dealing with. And that's why I am so clear about each and every, at least, or the people who listen to the show, that it's important for us to do our own inner work so that we can be available for the surprises of life, because you never know what's going to come at you. And even if we never encounter somebody who's been abused, it is important for us to deal with our own judgment, our own criticism, not being at peace with ourselves. It's very important to develop a relationship with others and create communities that's very supportive. That's part of ending the violence. Violence is everywhere. It's on the games. It's in the movies. Parents will allow their kids to watch movies that's violent before they allow them to watch a movie where people are making love. When they're making love, they say, cover your face. But they'll let their children watch violence. I mean, so it's a bigger thing, and we're all part of it. I want to ask you, time is doing what time does. I want to ask Jenny this question. Well, I don't know if it's a question. I really want to just hear your thoughts, Jenny.
So I was saying earlier, a friend of yours, maybe a Facebook friend, we'll just use his first name, Dave. He said, "Hi, Jenny. My daughter was almost killed 2 weeks ago by her boyfriend, and she's back with him now, planning to get married. There's definitely something wrong with her head. We have tried to help her all we could. She will have to learn the hard way or be killed. We are so sad." There are many people who feel like this. I read that yesterday because the person posted yesterday, and I'm sad. What would you say to the Daves in the world, parents who are going through this, or family members who are watching their loved one being abused, being attacked, and they feel hopeless?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one. And I think I did respond that it's important to let her know that you still love and support her and want to help her when she's ready, if she's ready for that, and not to cut off communication. That's often a big mistake that people make when they set up an ultimatum and they say, if you don't leave him after what he's did to you, then you might as well write us out of your family. And that is really, really detrimental. Sometimes you just have to step back and say, please, whenever you want to talk, come and we'll listen. And we'll figure out some way that makes you feel safer if you're feeling unsafe. But the difficulty often is that domestic abuse is a gradual process. It's insidious. A man will start to say things to the woman that makes her feel like he just wants to protect her and care for her, but it then slips and slides into a situation where he's really trying to control her and where he erodes her own sense of confidence and self-esteem by looking after her in such an obsessively protective way that he won't give her a chance to even make her own decisions and have her own opinions. And then that just escalates to greater power and control being used over the victim. And that's what makes it often very hard for a family to know what to do, because they see their loved one changing before their eyes and they'll say, she used to be such a happy person and so confident. What's happened to her? And they don't necessarily know what's been going on behind the scenes, that the abuser has really been taking a psychological toll on his victim.
What I'm going to do before we take a break is coin Mike's website. So what I hear you saying, Jenny, is that family members need to give the love that they believe their loved one deserves, that they're not getting from their loved one. So rather than attacking them or being mad at them, they need to demonstrate what a harmonious relationship looks like. So instead of judging them, you just need to leave them to create that space of compassion, because we all, you know, parents want their children to be in a relationship where there's compassion, there's trust, there's, you know, there's honesty, and we must be willing to demonstrate that too, or else we're just sending the same message. That's it.
I get it.
That's the work. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll open the conversation when we come back on the other side after the break and celestial moment. We're going to have some new guests joining us. And you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. And today the topic is eradicate domestic violence. And now I intend to call it eradicate rather than eradicating, because I believe that we all have a responsibility. It's not just that woman over there being abused, that man over there. If it's affecting one person, it's affecting all of us. If you look at how much it costs, sometimes we don't really have, we can't really, what's the word I'm looking for? We struggle to see how the money affects us when they tell us, what one of the figures I saw here, some stupid amount, stupid as in just crazily outrageous. But, you know, the cost of intimate partner violence exceeds $5.8 billion each year. $5.8 billion each year. $4.1 billion of which is for direct medical and mental health services, $4.1 billion for which is for direct mental health. I mean, 4.1, and that money can go into so many places. Now, don't get me wrong, I didn't say they shouldn't spend it there. But if we individually start changing how we are being, the work we're doing on ourselves, so that we can demonstrate what a loving and harmonious, creating a space, a safe space for loved ones, for our children. We're all part of this. And if we're not really willing to step up, I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, we're taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. I know this is a heavy conversation. I've been grounding myself since yesterday. But I'm setting the intention that somebody's going to hear something that will cause a shift, because all it takes is just one person, and that one person interacts with the next, and the next, and the next. Now, let's take a break. Let's bring on Celeste for some quick announcements, and then we'll continue the show after, well, the show is continuing. You know what I mean. I'm doing a lot, so I'm not even thinking straight. Let me just tell the truth. Celeste, come here and rescue me.
Okay, I'm here to rescue you. What a powerful
Thank
conversation
you.
We're having about eradicating domestic violence. We have more people coming in, and very excited to have them join this conversation. But in the meantime, let me let you know what's upcoming on the Ask Life Coach Radio Show. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to continue supporting you to activate the love matrix. He'll be serving soul food for your consciousness. Then next week, we are preparing a show about an upcoming community healing forum, the future of African American men, which keeps us focused on how and get ready for another episode of Ancestral Blueprints, since it is the last Wednesday of the month next week. So make sure you don't miss these powerful shows, because when you tune in, you get to be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hussman, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, for more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Did you know that color therapy has been used for thousands of years? But many of us don't realize that we've actually been practicing some form of color therapy our entire lives. We choose the colors we wear, the colors we eat, our furnishings, and wall colors. And whether you're selecting a color for your next car or toothbrush, all of your color choices are meant to make you feel better. I'm Elaine Marie, the director of Aura House School of Color and Light, and the founder of Color Therapy Month. This March, please join me in celebrating the healing power of color. For ideas on how you can participate in this worldwide event, visit our website at colortherapymonth.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you all. Thank you all for tuning in, wherever you're listening from, even if you're listening on archive. Thank you for being part of this soul life-transforming conversation. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. The topic today is we're eradicate domestic violence. And, yes, the theme for the month is activate the love matrix. We are waking up to what true love is. It's beyond romance. It's taking action. It's making a difference. It's surrendering to your greater yet to be, to know that there's so much more and that we are all connected. We're interrelated. So it's up to you. That's the mission. If you will accept it, it's time for Celestial Moment, and then after that we'll continue the conversation. Lauren Vaughn will be joining us. She's the executive director of My Sister's Place. And we have Ron Burnett, a brother who was once an abuser, and he's here to tell his story and how what he had to go through. And for questions, 347-426-3346. Celeste, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It is great to be back. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and I trust that you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day is 9, and 9 is the end of a cycle. It's the number of endings and completion. Now, today we're going to put the spotlight on how 9 shows up in the medicine cards. It's the butterfly. Butterfly that flutters in the morning light. You have known many forms before you ever took flight. Butterfly medicine is of the air, and the air is of the mind. We are reminded to focus on our thinking as we prepare for our next level. The stages of development from the caterpillar to the butterfly also teach us about our human development and the inevitability of change. Butterfly medicine teaches how to astutely observe our station in life, whether we feel like we are crawling or flying. We understand that all of our experiences are leading us toward the light. Acceptance becomes our friend when we can be grateful for all the places we've been and the things we've seen. The lessons, challenges, and good times led us all here. So if you look around and don't like your surroundings, use butterfly medicine to set a new course today. Use the contrast in your life to propel you for your new start. Endings are simply beginnings. You'll find your right station if you fly to your heart. All is well.
And that's the story of nine, told through our friend, the butterfly of medicine cards. I'll see you on Wednesday, around one, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Yes, we're all being encouraged to listen within. And that was Celestial Moment. Celeste will be back tomorrow around 1. And we're having a conversation about domestic violence. And I don't care what you believe in. I don't care if you believe in God or not. It really doesn't matter to me. Just recognize that we need each other, that we are one, we are interconnected, and let's all rise up and be the change we want to see. We're ready, Celeste, whenever you're ready.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Lauren Vaughn, the executive director of My Sister's Place.
Important to note, My Sister's Place, D.C., so that you can find them.
Okay.
Lauren
Vaughn. The territorial.
Oh, no, no. Well, Jenny Cressman actually reminded me that there was a My Sister's Place in Canada as well. So My Sister's Place, D.C. is the organization that we're talking about right now. And Lauren Vaughn grew up hearing, to whom much is given, much is expected. Her community involvement began when she was a Girl Scout working to earn a community service badge to add to her uniform. She continued her volunteerism through high school, college, and into adulthood, devoting her time to those most in need through projects supporting survivors of rape, the visually impaired, and performing arts for underprivileged children. In 2000, Ms. Vaughn approached My Sister's Place in D.C. to serve as a volunteer at the agency's 24-hour emergency shelter. Growing up in a home where she witnessed domestic violence inspired her to become a tireless advocate for battered women and their children. And in 2009, she became executive director and reflected, I have a responsibility to use what God has given me for the greater good, and that includes the good, the bad, and ugly experiences in my life. Family, please welcome Lauren Vaughn of My Sister's Place, D.C.
D.C.
Good afternoon.
Welcome,
and
Lauren.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. It's cold here in D.C.
I send you some hot Atlanta heat because we're like 60 degrees, so it's kind of warm over here where it's like summer for us now. Yeah, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of the conversation. I want to delve in about your work and what happens at My Sister's Place. But before we do that, we always like to meet our guests heart to heart, soul to soul. So my first question is, who are you? Who is Lauren Vaughn?
That's a great question. Well, presently, as Celeste mentioned, I'm the executive director of My Sister's Place, which is D.C.'s oldest domestic violence shelter. We started providing services with a 24-hour hotline and a 15-bed emergency shelter back in 1976. And since then, our agency has grown tremendously to meet the ever-evolving needs of the community that we serve. So in addition to emergency shelter and a 24-hour hotline, we also provide transitional to permanent housing, residential and non-residential counseling and case management, advocacy, outreach in English and Spanish, and children's programming. And we work with a host of community partners here in the metropolitan area because we can't do what we do without partnering with our sister agencies here in the city.
That sounds like that keeps you busy, even when you're not at work, right?
Yes, it does. The goal, you know, the first line in our mission statement is that we're part of an interactive community dedicated to eradicating domestic violence. So that is the goal, to work myself out of a job so that there is not a need for places like My Sister's Place anymore.
Yes, indeed. I understand. So let me ask you, how do you define domestic violence?
That's a really good question. Domestic violence is not just physical abuse, as so many people think. Domestic violence takes on many different forms. And it can be sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, economic abuse. It can be the use of coercion and threats. It's not always hitting or physical abuse. Mm-hmm. It can be verbal. There are a number of ways that an abuser uses power and control over his victim in order to abuse them.
The power and control comes up. I mean, because as I listened to the conversation, we were talking to Jenny, they're still here, Jenny Cressman and Mike Giordano, power and control comes up. Lack of self-respect comes up, inequality, you know, lack of self-respect, not taking responsibility. With your clients, there's many places I want to go with this. This is kind of like a crazy question, but I'm going to ask this crazy question, and you can just answer it whichever way you want. The clients that you work with, what were the patterns that you saw among them and what led them into that kind of relationship?
Every client comes to us with different needs. Although there are themes and similarities in what is presented to us, domestic violence is at the core. Women have been battered for centuries. Although domestic violence happens to men also, by and large, women are impacted much more so. Statistics say that it's about 85% of victims of domestic violence are women. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your educational background is, what your social status is, what color you are. Domestic violence happens to all people. There is also a very large hidden population, or I should say underrepresented in the statistics. Most people think that domestic violence happens to poor people. But there is a huge community of women of affluence who are affected by domestic violence, who are suffering in silence. Most of the women that we serve in our shelter and in our programs are women that come from the more economically depressed areas of the D.C. metropolitan area. And that's because these women have fewer resources. Women of affluence, they tend to be more educated and have more expansive networks to be able to seek help and services in. And as I mentioned before, the numbers for women of affluence who are affected by domestic violence, although we don't see them very often in our shelter, they are out there and they are underreported because, you know, when you live in a big fancy house on a corner lot, people don't hear you scream. And, it takes a lot for a woman to work up the courage to reach out for help, whether it's calling the police, calling a friend or family member, calling for help. Women of affluence are even less likely to do that because they, too, are embarrassed and afraid. The women that we serve in our shelter and in many of our programs, as I said, come from the more economically depressed areas of the city, and they also tend to be very young. They tend to be between the ages of 18 and 24 years old, and many of them dropped out of high school when they had their first child in the 9th or 10th grade. So what we are doing, I take my hats off to our clinical staff here at my sister's place because they work very hard to put lives together, not just put lives back together, but to put lives together. We meet them at their needs. So if they need help getting their GED, if they need help with job training, if they need help with other special skills and have other requirements. My Sister's Place does everything that we can to assist these women in becoming independent, safe, and self-sufficient.
So what is the impact?
Sometimes people come to us. I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
No, I was just going to say, you know, sometimes people come to us with nothing more than the clothes on their back. So we provide, you know, whatever it is that they need. We meet people at their needs. They often come to us with, you know, multiple children. Our program has grown. When we opened our doors back in 1976, we had 15 shelter beds. And we recently underwent a major renovation and expansion following a capital campaign that concluded 3 years ago, where we more than doubled our capacity. And our shelter can now accommodate up to 45 women and their children. So we're, you know, we're doing what we can to meet the need, but the need is great, and there are never enough shelter beds and never enough resources and never enough programs to serve all of the survivors and victims who are out there.
So we just got an email question. The question is, what is the impact of domestic violence on the woman in the D.C. area?
Well, the Metropolitan Police Department here in D.C., that 911 in D.C., receives more than 31,000 domestic violence-related calls each year. That's one call every 17 minutes. So in terms of the numbers, that is it's huge. That's more than 60% of the phone calls coming into 911 in D.C. that are domestic violence related. And those are just the women that are able to call. A lot of people don't pick up the phone and call because they are unable to or because they are afraid of what the consequences might be after they tell somebody what's actually going on. Domestic violence never occurs in public. It always happens behind closed doors. It is a choice. It's not a mistake. You know, if an abuser says, "Oh, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to do that. If you hadn't acted the way you did, then I wouldn't have hit you." No, that's not the case. It is a choice, and it is a learned behavior that can be unlearned.
You know, we got somebody, another guest waiting, and I want to go to him. But before I go to him, and actually I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to quickly come to Jenny and Mike. Jenny Cressman, who is an advocate for women, and Mike Giordano, a social worker and psychotherapist. They're holding. I'm going to go back to them. But this is the question I want to ask because we haven't talked about this. Real quickly, what kind of help is out there for men who are committing the abuse? Because we're talking about the help that's not there for women, or sometimes we've talked earlier with Jenny Cressman that young people or people can fall in the crack when it comes to social services. But what kind of help is out there for the ones who are committing the crime?
Unfortunately, there is not a lot of structured help out there for batterers. And in the Washington, D.C. area, the only help that I am aware of is that which is mandated by the court following an incident. So it is a huge gap in the continuum of services. You know, if the goal is to eradicate domestic violence, then we're not going to get there by just without helping the batterers, helping people unlearn this behavior.
Right, exactly.
I mean, because I'm after just listening, I find that even the questions I've been asking has been more about helping the people who have been battered. But what about the batterer? I mean, we can't just say we're trying to get learning life skills and everything. But we got to, I mean, I'm looking at the way I see domestic violence, I think it's a societal thing. It's not even about a woman, what I mean by not woman or man, it's not like something that happens to isolated people. We all have a role to play. And if young men are not learning how to deal with their emotions, their anger, their hurt, then we're going to continue to have things like this. Let me go to Jenny Cressman real quick. Jenny, what kind of help are out there for men so that they can unlearn and maybe, well, start heal and unlearn the bad habits?
Yeah, similar to what Lauren mentioned, there are services for men to deal with anger and abuse issues that are often mandated by the court. And for that reason, they don't really get as much out of it as they should because they have to be there. They don't necessarily want to be there. If men choose to enroll in programs like that on their own, then they get much more effect, positive results from it. There are also psychologists and counselors and psychotherapists who would be available to assist men, but there would be a cost associated with that in most situations. Here in Ontario, we do offer through community mental health services some programs that would be of a benefit to abusive men. But I think one of the things to also point out is that breaking the cycle of violence is really important. So I think offering services that support children in understanding the abuse they have witnessed at home and learning how to more appropriately express strong emotions that are related to abuse and conflict in a safe setting. Programs like that are very important. We offer something called Children's Voices here at Muskoka Women's Advocacy Group, or MWAG, and I'm sure Lauren has something similar there. But that's really a big piece, is helping children to understand what they've been witnessing. Even if the parents don't think they're fighting in front of the children often witness it just through the sounds and the feelings that they're getting from their parents' negative interaction. So that's something. And also changing the values within society. I talked before about gender inequality. There are so many messages that are coming through, both blatant and covert, that men are more important than women, and that this gives them the right to exercise power and take charge, and sometimes that requires abuse physically. Changing that root belief and changing the social construct regarding gender issues, I think, will go a long way to helping to eradicate domestic violence.
Yes. And one of the things you said that I'm passionate about is the idea of raising boys to be emotionally literate, because we tend to raise them emotionally literate. Don't connect with their emotions, and you got to grow up, you got to man up. And let me go to Mike Giordano, because you're represent. Well, we're having you on to represent the LGBTQ community. So what I would say to the question, the same question again, but slightly different, Mike. The question is, are there things out there for batterers that you know of that can be used? Because sometimes the conversation is more about those that have been battered and how much is spent in helping them.
Sure. So I don't know of, other than what I'm in D.C. as well, so other than court-mandated programs, I don't know of any other than individual therapists that batterers can access. And then specifically for the LGBTQ community, certainly there's nothing I'm aware of as well. You know, it's interesting, though. Some overarching things that I'm thinking about is when we deal with oppression and try to when we try to deal with all kinds of oppression, we deal with violence. And then I think another piece about helping batterers that I wanted to say is that I think when we make people other, even people that do terrible things, when we make them other and not human, we make it hard for them to get help.
Yes.
So if the batterer is mentally ill or crazy or sick or a terrible person, that person is not going to seek help on their own, because that's
right.
So I tell you, I think we all, let me speak for myself. I have, in my past, I've worked with parents who abuse kids. And I hear people say, I don't understand how anyone could hurt a kid. And I think, well, have you ever been around them? They're challenging. And if you're not stable and have great support, I think we're all, many of us are capable of doing things we wouldn't want to do or wouldn't be proud of. So I just think it's really important for us to be able to, for those of us who are at least trying to assist people as betterers, to see them as human as well.
No, I get it, and thank you. Yeah, I get it. We need to, I mean, even though they've done something horrible, something that we just want to lock them up in jail for prison for the rest of their lives, they're still human. They're still part of the community. They're still part of society, and we must help. And for me, I never really thought about this before, but I think that's part of the problem. If the three of you are saying, well, what you know of most, but it's work with children, but mainly the court-mandated route for those committing the abuse, that's part of the problem. We're not even trying to fix it. We're just, it's almost like a knee-jerk reaction. Well, we'll wait for them to be battered or attempt suicide before we do anything, but we're not focusing on how did we even get to that point. But I am grateful to say we have somebody who went through a court-mandated program and is here to share his story. Let me bring on Celeste to tell us a little bit about Ron Burnett.
Yes, my family, it is my honor to introduce Ron Burnett, who actually called in to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show to share his story on the men's panel last month. He describes himself as a former domestic abuser. He states that he had a pattern of being an abuser in his intimate relationships since his early 20s. From the ages of 14 to 19, he's lived in a system, also growing up in a home with domestic violence, very much so present. He said he learned through the school of hard knocks and didn't glean the lessons of what it meant to be a man. So after the police was called after an altercation with his intimate partner, Ron was court mandated to a 6-month program where he got the help he needed to turn his... Okay, to put your hands on anyone today. Ron continues focusing on his spiritual life and has made amends with those he had battered in his life. His goal now is to help young people learn what he didn't. His ultimate dream is to set up group homes in the Los Angeles area for troubled teens. Ron is here to share his story of pain to peace. Family, please welcome Ron Burnett.
Hello, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Ade, and thank you for having me. Namaste to all in attendance.
Namaste, my brother. Thank you for being here. I have so much moving through me right now. And I think I'm just hit with the idea that, you know, we don't have a lot of things in place for, I won't say men like you because you're not that anymore, but men who did what you did, and even if it's women, but it's a flipped up community, society. I respect those who listen to the show for the first time. I have no problem using the other F word, okay? Sometimes you just got to tell it as it is. It is jacked up that we don't help, and we say we care about our children, we care about our women, we care about society. Okay, time is doing what time does. It's moving along. So we're going to condense your story because I wanted to get the essence of it and how you. So this is what I want to do. So this is the question. We're going to keep it short. We're going to squeeze you into about 5 minutes. I thought we had a little bit more than that. Tell us your experience. What you did in your relationship, was it with just one person or was it something that happened over a period of time? And what triggered you? What was the cause?
Okay. First of all, Ade, if I could, you know, I really want anyone who's going through what I went through to realize if there are children involved, those are individuals that are extremely affected by this abuse. And while you may think the child is asleep and can't hear the violence that's going on, the child is listening, the child is awake, and the child knows what's going on. I'm extremely emotional about this. As I reflect on my previous life, and it just brings up so many different emotions, so please excuse me. But nevertheless, I had a horrible experience. I had a very challenging childhood, a lot of misogyny and traits and characteristics in the home that I grew up in, a lot of violence. And unfortunately, that led me into my adulthood with those traits and qualities, growing into a young adulthood. But my turning point was me actually putting my hands on the young lady and debilitating her for 6 months. It was a situation that affected me and haunted me for many years after the incident had happened. The young lady had went out with a friend of mine, a male friend of mine, and his girlfriend. And the two of them joined together and went out and hung out and came back later on that evening, and some gentleman called the house that we shared together looking for her. And through my past life, I became infuriated. I grabbed the young lady, and I'm a football player. So I'm a big guy. I'm 6 feet, 245 pounds. And my poor, excuse me, this still haunts me to this day, even though I've received forgiveness for myself and forgiveness for the young lady, but this haunts me to this very day. And I'm so saddened by it. It's going on every day. But I grabbed this young lady and dislocated her hip. Had to wear a body cast for 6 months. That hurt me so bad. I'm so sorry for the emotion. But
no, don't apologize for it. Don't apologize for your emotions.
I had to go through this for 6 months and watch this lady wear this body cast. And through that situation, I was mandated to go through a men's education against nonviolence program, which was definitely a divine intervention for myself, because I began to take on a new light at that point. And all of my behaviors were, what the sister said earlier, a learned behavior. This wasn't who God made me. This was a learned behavior through my childhood and upbringing. I grew up in the system. I didn't have parents to guide me and show me the way of a loving, nurturing home. You know, I was part of the system. I was ward of the county of Los Angeles from the time I was 14 to 19. So it was a situation where this wasn't who I was, but it was a learned behavior. And I wanted something more out of life. I did not want to be this monster of a man that I had become.
So let me ask you this. Forgive my emotions. I don't need you to forgive your emotions. I really don't, because that is part of the healing, and that's the problem in our society. We apologize for our emotions. We apologize for our feelings, and we don't get to create a safe space for it. So I don't need you to apologize, but if you must, so be it. During the program, what did the program work for you, and if it did, or did you apply yourself? Because Jenny Cressman was saying earlier, I think, or maybe it was Mike, some people go to the court-mandated program, and they just kind of like, yeah, whatever, and they just wait for it to be over. Did it work
and
for
I
you?
I respect what Jenny said, and she's right about most of the individual men that were in the program. It was mandated, and, of course, it was out of pocket as well. But me, I was the individual that, you know, I wanted something different. I didn't want to be that monster. So this is exactly what the divine spirit ordered for me. So it was something that I said was a divine intervention, and it was something that was put in place by the divine spirit to help me become a better person.
Let me ask you this question. Well, no, you're good. What was the main thing? What was the main thing that turned you around? What did you hear? What happened that caused you to really look at yourself? And as you said, as a monster, you saw that monster in yourself and saying, oh, my God, we got to put an end to this. What happened? What caused the change?
Well, me being a battered child and an abused child, I realized that there were children involved and that this would scar and affect the children. And even moreover, you know, no one should ever get to the point where they need to put their hands on anyone, whether it be a child, whether it be your domestic partner, your love interest. You should never get to that point where you feel you need to put your hands on that individual. Talk about it. Converse about it. Have an understanding. And relationships are all about equality.
So let me ask you this, because time, I really wanted just more time with you, but all is well. The lady who had to wear a body cast, how is she now?
Well, she was one of the main individuals that I sought retribution for. For years, begged for her forgiveness, and she wasn't willing to give me her forgiveness because she had to live with this scar on her backside, which was a scar that's going to be there for the rest of her life, you know. But I got to a point after so many years of going back to her saying, please forgive me, that is not the person who I am today. And her realizing that and seeing that through my everyday behaviors, that I was no longer that person. I had to go to her children, who I raised very young. I mean, one of the daughter that I raised from a child, you know, she's in medical school at Howard University now, and 25 years old, and the son is 30-something years old, and we are friends today. We're Facebook friends, as a matter of fact, and anytime I'm in the upstate New York area, I visit them. So it was a part of me going back, asking for forgiveness, allowing each other to heal. You know, I had to forgive myself before I was able to ask for forgiveness. And I asked forgiveness of the children because that's really, really important. The children becoming highly affected by physical abuse, the mental abuse, any abuse that's in the household. The children, if their children present, they become highly, highly affected by it.
Yes, forgiveness is important, and you got to do the work to get to the place of forgiveness. Let me ask you this last question. Now, what would you say to another man? I just leave it at that, bro, because we hear in that, well, mostly females are attacked. But what would you say to another man, a man to man, brother to brother? What would you say to another man saying, man, dog, I hear you with all that stuff, but she'd be back-talking me, she'd just be carrying on. I can't take that attitude, man. I don't want to do it, but she made me do it. What would you say to them?
I would first of all let them know that it is not your place to rule over one's opinion. Everyone has a voice, and their voice should be respected as yours should be respected, or as you would want yours to be respected. Again, equality in a relationship is very important. Your opinion is no greater than that of your partner. You must come together. You must converse. You must have open, honest, effective communication for any relationship to work. Any guy that's going through this today, first of all, you have to pray and you have to want this. This isn't something. If you don't want this, it's going to be very hard for you to make this change. But if you truly, truly, truly love that person, like you indicate in the relationship, the equality will become the foremost forefront of the relationship, and you would begin to respect your partner's decision-making process, your partner's opinion counts and matters. Very important.
So let me jump in here.
Mm-hmm.
I need to jump in. Sorry to interrupt you, Ron. I'm passionate about this, and I'm glad you and I connected, and that's why I do the show on a monthly basis with the men. And I definitely want to continue this conversation with you because we men need to stand up. We need to speak up. We need to share. We need to tell our stories. And I thank you so much for being willing to share your story. And we're going to talk some more. Okay, I trust the process.
It'd be my pleasure.
I trust the process. I appreciate you, my brother.
My pleasure.
You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Adi Radio Show. We got about 8 more minutes left, so I'm just going to I'm just going to go to our experts. Let me go to Lauren Vaughn, Executive Director of My Sister's Place. Real quickly, 30 seconds, anything you want to say to that you want to highlight, Lauren, and maybe one or two tips for male and female to help in the process to eradicate domestic violence. So we'll give you 30 seconds, 31 minutes, 1 minute. How about that?
Okay, thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you to Ron for sharing his story. And I also want to piggyback on what he said. He mentioned growing up in a home where there was domestic violence. And what we have found is that growing up in a home where there is domestic violence, a child who witnesses domestic violence, that is the single greatest indicator that that child will grow up to find themselves in an abusive relationship as either the abuser or the abused. So we really have to start with kids, setting the right example and teaching boys especially that it's not okay to hit. You know, I listen to some of the, you know, the media and society denigrates women. And, you know, something as simple as calling a T-shirt a wife beater. You know, it's not a wife beater. That's not the name. It's a pink top. So call it as such. And it really is taking a completely different approach to things that we take for granted and teaching our children that violence is bad no matter what. And if you're a man or you're a woman and you want to hit somebody, I encourage you to walk away.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much because the show is coming to an end. And your website address is mysistersplace.org, is that correct?
It's mysistersplace.dc. .org. There are several organizations around the country with the name My Sister's Place that do similar work. MySistersPlaceDC.org.
Right. Thank you very much, Lauren. We appreciate you for your time with us, and we're going to continue the conversation. It's not a one-off because it needs to keep going. Thank you very much. And listeners, there was someone in the chat room who said she had to go to the door real quick. Redefine and design, she said it would be nice if there was someone to support her. There's a lot of resources on the event page. Celeste, can you post that in there? In the chat room for me, please, for the person using the username Refine. I think that's what it is, Refine and Define. And there's another one. I don't know if we have, because I was going to bring Celeste on to give some resources, but let's see here. There was the, where is it? Celeste, can you post that number again for me in the safe haven? I think that's what it was. Let me go to Jenny.
Hey, Adi. I know you're running out of time.
Yes. 1 minute of anything you wanted to say about Ron, things that we can all do to be part of the healing.
Okay. There's a lot of great information on our website, www.mwag.ca, including a downloadable PDF of a book called A New Beginning, and it is a guide for an abused woman and those trying to help her. Lots of good general information in there that can be applied to both sexes if you're in a different sort of a relationship. And also you talked about how to end the cycle of violence and getting the men involved. You are absolutely right. You and Ron is key. There's a White Ribbon program, White Ribbon campaign founded by Michael Kaufman, and I will post information about him on our website. And I would encourage you, Ade, to have him as a guest on your show at some time to talk about getting men engaged in ending violence against women. And that, I think, is the biggest part of the piece when you talk about domestic violence. It needs to end it for everyone.
Yes, White Ribbon Program. Yes, he will be on. You have my word. Jenny, thank you. Thank you so much for the work you do and being part of the change and part of the healing.
You're welcome, and thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry to cut you off. Didn't mean to do that.
Mike Giordano. I'm going to kind of not necessarily, I'm not, understand, because I just what you said earlier, I'm not making you the other, but this is a part of a community that we don't either talk about or don't want to talk about. So I want to ask you, from what you've heard, you got 1 minute, from what you heard from Ron, and any tip you can share with us how we can support the LGBTQ community. 1 minute.
Yes, sure, of course. I think, so some studies indicate that domestic violence and intimate partner violence occurs at the same rates in same-sex relationships as they do in heterosexual relationships. So I think a few things need to happen, if specifically around service providers, whether they be the police who are responding to calls or shelters or other supportive organizations. I think service providers, if we don't have specific services for LGBTQ people, then the service providers that are providing them really need to work on educating themselves and their employees on how to make their space accessible and supportive to LGBTQ people, as well as promoting it, because it certainly happens in the relationships in my community, and we need a place to get help as well.
Yes.
So.
Yes. We need a place. We all need a place. We need a safe place. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you. You're welcome. This kind of show, and I'm in between moving around, I'm sort of like in the action mode. But when I start winding down, all the emotions start rising up. And right now, I'm glad I got 3 minutes left. I just want to remind us, we know this, that we are connected. It's not just words. We are connected. And if we don't rise up together, we're all going to die together. I mean, and I'm not even talking about the physical death. It's going to affect you, you know, if you don't speak up, if you're judging, if you're criticizing somebody else, if you're not there to support a young man who doesn't know how to express his emotions, and you think that little boy ought to be locked up. Well, he may come out and end up marrying your daughter. Think about that. We've got to show up. We've got to be more solution-oriented, healing-oriented. And as I always say, I don't care what you believe in. You need to understand that there is a power and a presence within you. And when you know who you are, you make different choices. The ones who abuse are confused. They're lost. They don't know who they are. But we can do it. Those of us who say, oh, yeah, we can help them, but we understand what their problem is, well, let us be the change we want to see. Be the change. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And I take this moment for you to truly, truly be loved. And when I say love, really love in action, understanding, listening to somebody else, creating a safe space. Be an example of a harmonious relationship. Model what you want to see. Let your children see you being loved in action. Be true to yourself and allow yourself to be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. I'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived, so you can always go back to iTunes and listen to the show. There's a lot of information in the chat room and the event page, which I will post on my Facebook page as well. And whoever is doing the posting at Muskoga, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Muskoga Wag, thank you, thank you. There's a lot of information on there. They're going hard. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Ron. Peace and blessings. I'm out of here.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.